of the land on which we gather to conduct this meeting and pays its respects to their elders past and present. Attendances and apologies. We have two apologies tonight. We have Councillor Hilary McWilliam and Councillor Paul Polifka, who are apologies. Councillors, I'll ask if there's any... Sorry, yes.
I just wanted to make note of the fact that with the change of the council meeting next week because of Anzac Day, I'm going to be absent at the council meeting on the Wednesday night and will be away from the 26th of April to the 5th of May. So if somebody would be willing to put that to the council meeting next week, I would be appreciative.
I will be more than happy to put that to the council next week. Councillor McLennan, thank you. Councillors, do we have any declarations of interest? No? Okay. I do have one announcement. The draft local planning scheme 11 is open for public comment. Please note there will be public information sessions held at the Hawaiian Shopping Centre on the 27th of April, 9 till 12, the 16th of May, 2 till 5, the 2nd of June, 9 till 12, also at the Bassanine Library on the 3rd of May, 5 till 7, the Bassanine Markets on the 28th of May, 9 till 1:30 p.m. Also, community members, please feel free to call the town's planning service to speak to a planner if you so desire. We'll now move on to public statement time, where there is a limit of 2 minutes per person. Statements at a briefing session must relate to an item on the agenda. I'll also remind people that these meetings are recorded and live streamed. Would anyone, thank you, ma'am, if you'd like to come up to the microphone, your name and address, that would be great. 327 A Whitfield Street. So hang on a minute, we'll turn on the microphone.
Val Humphrey, 127 A Whitfield Street. So I came tonight to support the community transport service, which is a really important service, and just thought I'd have a peep at the agenda of the briefing session, and I was aghast to see 9.1 on the agenda and the potential threat to the future of the living streams for the Water Authority drains from 2nd Avenue through to 4th Avenue. And so I just wanted to register how important I think that those, that project is. I was involved in a small way with the public consultation section of that, and when I was attending those consultations, I was so impressed to see the way that the living streams were being developed. I was first involved in the 1990s, and to see such a sort of a good system being unrolled and, you know, up north of the railway line, I thought fantastic. It was even better to see so many of the neighbouring residents at the meeting that I felt I didn't need to say anything. I didn't need to stand up and say what a good project I thought it was because they were all enrolled and involved and it was, yeah, going ahead, or we hoped. And so here I am tonight urging you to try to find a way to implement some of that work. I mean, I can appreciate that the bar has been raised all over the place and it seems that some of the issues raised are what we've just been through with the changes to state government requirements. But in particular, it seems to me that if you're looking at the project as a whole, stage two, being from third through to fourth, offers more in terms of community benefit. So while it seems that you're looking actually at what to do about stage one, and it could get stuck with that, and often projects, you know, like it's like railway lines, they say they're going to go to, you know.
Okay.
Geraldton. Okay, is this 2 minutes? I just please try and find a way to, okay. to
so,
take that forward. It's so important to nature in
yes.
the future of Bassendean.
Yes.
Thank you.
Like yourself, I was at that community consultation. It was an extraordinarily good community consultation. I would agree with you. I would agree with you that many of the aspects of what was developed through that consultation were something to look forward to. So in many respects, I agree wholeheartedly with your comments. I would suggest that the officer recommendation, particularly point one, is for myself and the CEO to have further conversations with the powers that be to discuss some of the problems that have arisen in the last year. So I would also comment that to proceed with the project with the changes that have been made would not deliver the outcomes that were canvassed and articulated by the community in 2019. So in that respect, the report highlights the necessity to go to a higher authority to talk about the issues. Okay? Thank you. Would anyone else like to make a public statement? No? Okay, on that I will close statement time and move on to public question time. And again, usually two questions. Yes, sir, if you'd like to come up to the microphone, state your name and address.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Don Yates, 10 Thompson Road, Success Hill. Question number one relates to 35 Old Perth Road. Not that I'm saying that I'm going to buy 35 Old Perth Road, but if I was currently zoned RAC3 and it's been for more than 5 years, but then things happened and I wasn't able to develop that land until, let's say, Local Planning Scheme 11 was passed, where the zoning is, you know, could potentially change to R160. Now, would I be required to build to R160, or would the carryover of the RAC3 zoning still apply?
Pass that to Mr. Gibson.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Under LPS 10, 35 Old Perth Road is zoned town centre, but there is a provision in the scheme that enables the site to be developed at RAC3. Upon gazettal of LPS 11, it is likely at this stage that the site will be zoned residential R160 mixed use. And depending on when the application is lodged and determined, that would dictate how you can develop it. If the application was lodged now, it would be assessed on the basis of the current zoning. If it was lodged post-gazettal, it would be assessed on the basis of the future zoning. But all of that said, the difference between the two zonings and codings is very little, so I'd suggest the actual built form outcome would be much the same.
I'd have to disagree with that, because under R160, there's a 6 metre setback across the back. RAC3 doesn't have the same setback. And on the, also have side setbacks under R160. At the moment, it was initially Mr. Yates, in the city.
Mr. Yates, it's a question. You're not here to disagree with the staff. You're here to ask a question.
It was really just a definition of the question. The second question really comes back to the logo that was refreshed back in 2015 to be Town of the Bassendean, Home by the Swan, with the triangle and the tree and whatever. I note on a number of publications now that Home by the Swan has been dropped, and my question is, was there a motion considered by the council to actually drop the Home by the Swan? It's part of the branding of Bassendean, which comes back to 35 Old Perth Road.
Mr. Gibson.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Certainly in the last 3.5 years, I don't recall there being a motion or a decision from Council in relation to the logo.
It's just that if you look currently at the agenda for tonight's meetings, you'll find that Home by the Swan has been dropped. And my question is, if you're going to do that, then I think it's incumbent on the Council to actually consider that motion, because it's really not the true motion. Thank you for the questions.
Thank you. There are no deputations for tonight. Okay. Okay, with that, councillors will move on to the reports. 9.1, Living Stream Project, 2nd to 4th Avenue, Bassendean. Ms Davey, would you like to speak to this item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the purpose of the item is for council to consider progression of the Living Stream Project. So that's both Stage 1 and Stage 2 from 2nd to 4th Avenue in Bassendean. So as has previously been communicated to councillors, most recently in a workshop in November, we've been developing the design with the Water Corporation since about 2019-2020. And since that time, there's been a few issues that have arisen relating to Water Corporation's design requirements and also the licence that would apply, which is a Water Corporation requirement before the works could commence. So the two key issues are that the design requirements for access have increased and would differ quite significantly from the concept that went out to the community, which would mean there'd be an increase in hard stand and a reduction in the space available for planting. So for example, in stage one, there'd be very minimal space for any trees. They'd mainly be on the verges only. The other concern is the licence conditions that would relate to indemnification and liability. So the Water Corporation would require the town to indemnify them and cover any of their losses, and that is not able to be insured, and it's an unlimited value potentially. So that would be needed to be funded through municipal funds, and that risk is considered to be quite significant. So the town's attempted to resolve those issues with the Water Corporation for probably the last 12 months. And without much success, they have made some minor changes, but the key issues still remain. So to further progress this, the officer recommendation includes part one, to meet with the CEO of the Water Corporation and the Minister of Water to try and resolve those issues. And part two is, if that's unsuccessful, to then discontinue the project and also advise the neighbours and the general community of the reasons for that discontinuation.
Thank you. Councillors, questions? Councillor McLennan.
My page is full of questions, so please bear with
me. That's fine.
So just acknowledging what Ms Davies said about the licence agreement and the concerns about some of the clauses it contains, the report refers to the fact that Water Corp requires a similar licence with the other local governments that have already had Living Stream projects undertaken. I'm just wondering how those local governments have managed to proceed with them, given those clauses, and if there's been any discussion with any of those local governments about how they've managed that?
Through the Chair, Madam Mayor, we have made initial inquiries with a few other local governments. Some of them may not have been aware of the implications of agreeing to those licence conditions. And I believe for older projects, the same requirements may not have applied.
So similarly, the report refers to a response from Water Corp referring to, I think it's the Wharf Street Basin project as an example of where they also needed railing and fences and so on. Having a look at their project, it's not very big, it's only a hectare, so it's smaller than ours, and they don't seem to have this requirement for 4 metres of hard stand and so on. So is that another one of the requirements that where the goalposts have shifted since we did our initial design work?
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, that's correct. The Water Corporation did advise that as a result of some projects that had been implemented, they then increased their design requirements because of problems that they'd experienced.
Thank you. Can I keep asking questions?
Yes.
There's a reference in the report to an approach to Water Corp to have a hold harmless clause included instead in the licence, but that was rejected. I'm not really clear on what that is. Can you please just explain to me what we were attempting there and why it was rejected?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'm not a legal expert, but I believe it's where if there are any losses that the Water Corp experiences, that they address them directly. If there are any losses that the town experiences, we would then address it. And rather than looking at reimbursing funds from the other party.
I'll ask one more for now and then I'll be quiet. So in the officer recommendation, it refers to the required design and lands and license changes. Can I just get some clarification around what design and indemnification or liability clause changes would be considered satisfactory in order to be able to proceed with the project?
Through you, Madam Mayor, so confidential attachment 3 shows our recommended changes for the license.
That you wanted. Okay, so if you don't get those, it's very hard to turn around. So if those recommended changes aren't agreed to, that would be the trigger to not proceed further.
That's correct.
Okay. And the design changes that we'd be seeking, the minimum changes?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it would be either to reduce the path width, at the moment it's 4 metres wide, or reduce the access pad size at either end. So I think if either of those requirements could be varied, so say they would still require the access pads but not that width, it still would be more of a viable project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, other questions? Can I just ask the CEO a question on this? If we attend this meeting and there is partial acceptance of some of the concessions, this would be brought back to councillors at a workshop?
I think a workshop, given that we do meet regularly, would be the appropriate time. Mm. The reason for that part two is really so we can, this has been going on for a number of years, as you're aware, and I'm just trying to be more efficient in our decision making. So if we do get the response we're probably expecting, is we can just end the relationship and move on to another project, because we have been spending some time and resources on this. But a workshop would be
I think my question is if there is a partial concessions towards what we want but not a full concession, I guess my question is whether councillors would have the opportunity to express an opinion on that. So. Okay, councillors, and if we've got no other questions... Councillor McLennan.
Sorry, and I forgot to turn my microphone off, so you're going to need to remind me. A couple of things I was just wondering. So our local member was the Minister for Water for most of this project. Has he been able to assist us in progressing this in any way? Like, I know you had meetings with him.
I did meet with Minister Kelly twice on this issue. And I was under the impression that a meeting with the new minister would be progressed, but I have not at this stage been provided with a date of when that might occur.
Okay, thank you. Two other things. Just looking at the plans, so the most recent one, I was finding it difficult to follow what would actually be delivered. So, for example, down the bottom there's the cross-section that shows the different heights, the elevations, and on that it shows some large trees, but it's very difficult to know for the whole length of the project how many trees there would be. Do we have another version that would show us more specifically where vegetation would and wouldn't be able to be planted?
Through the chair, when we had the site meeting with the neighbours in November, there was a suggestion that we could update the concept to better represent those aspects. But that was put on hold pending the meeting with the CEO of the Water Corporation and Minister for Water.
Thank you. And that was related to my last question. Just given how involved the residents in that area have been in developing this plan and the site meetings and so on, I'm just wondering if we haven't already made them aware that this is coming to council, that we could let them know?
Through the chair, I did contact them by email last week.
Yeah, thank you.
I also advised our local member that this item was on the agenda as well. Okay, councillors, are there any other questions on this item? Okay, so we'll move to 9.2, strategic budget policy. And Mr. White.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the purpose of this report is for Council to consider adoption of a new strategic budget policy for the town. A draft policy was discussed with councillors at a workshop on the 3rd of March, and you'll see that some amendments have been made to the draft policy since that time, which are highlighted in colour in the attached report. The policy will establish clear principles and guidelines for council and the administration for responsible stewardship of the town's assets, and in particular provide guidance to council in terms of responsible and accountable budget decision making, and also to the community in terms of what to expect from council and to the administration in terms of guidance. Importantly, the proposed policy does include a funding hierarchy right at the end at clause 6.2, with priority given to funding risk mitigation activities in the first instance, provided followed by other activities to ensure compliance, then going down through the hierarchy into other gradually towards discretionary activities by council. And just one point finally to note is should council resolve to adopt the strategic budget policy, then we would suggest that the existing financial sustainability policy is no longer required, and it's recommended that it be revoked by council.
Thank you. I've just got a query about clause 6.2D, which is one of the funding priorities. So it says current operational funding for programs unless the operational need for any of these programs has been superseded. I'm just wondering where a change in council priority might fit in and whether that needs to be included somewhere around operational funding.
Okay, thank you, and through you, Madam Mayor. So I think the point for point D is if we've already committed to funding a program, then the presumption is that we would see it through. Quite often we'd already have contractual arrangements and something would be partway through delivery and so on. So we would want to continue our commitment as a town to that program before we looked at any new initiatives. But changes in the types of activities that council deems worthy to fund, for example, there may be a service review or something like that that might lead to a change in council priority, that would then result in council defunding that particular operational activity or funding a new one. If it's defunding it, we would seek to, generally speaking, continue our current obligations until such time as there weren't any. And if it was to fund a new program, then we would see that it would come in under the lower priority F.
Thank you. Can I just seek to clarify? I know we've had quite a lot of discussions in recent weeks and months and beyond around operations that discontinue year after year that council doesn't always have complete visibility of because they happen by the staff on a day-to-day basis. I'm just wondering, but do we need to incorporate something in here if this is guiding our budgeting processes that identifies that we don't want to just keep doing the same things over and over again without reviewing them regularly?
Thank you, and through you, Madam Mayor. I think we do talk about that in terms of service levels up at 5.4. That's the intent of really 5.4, I believe, is to go to what you're saying, Councillor McLennan, in terms of really looking for the continuous improvement all the time by regularly reviewing services and service levels, particularly in relation to perhaps discretionary spend or at least partially discretionary in terms of the ability for the town to set the desired service level. So we would seek to, I think this policy seeks to give that a bit more rigour than what we currently have in place by formally requiring that sort of continuous process of review.
Thank you. I really appreciate this policy coming for us.
So we'll move on to 9.3, draft amended council policy community funding, and this would be Mr. Gibson.
Through you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider amending its existing Council policy in relation to community funding. As councillors will recall, earlier this year, Council resolved to establish a CCTV rebate program and allocated $20,000 to that purpose. As foreshadowed at the time, there is a need to amend the community funding policy to provide for rebates and subsidies, and the existing policy has been amended accordingly, as highlighted in red and yellow.
Councillors, questions? Okay. No, it's fine, Councillor McLean.
Thank you. Just a couple. So in relation to 4.4, the waiving of fees, as part of our budget discussions, we've been talking about simplifying the fee structure. I'm just wondering whether this particular clause is still going to be relevant given those discussions. It's the one about seniors' fees.
Through Madam Mayor, obviously there was commentary at the workshop recently regarding the simplification of fees, and staff are currently exploring how that might look. Prior to this coming back to Council next Tuesday, we can revisit existing clause 4.4 to see if that can be similarly simplified.
Great, thank you. And my other query is in relation to 2.0, the grants and sponsorship, and it was really about the uptake and how we've been going with that, but also if we've had any feedback on the process, particularly around the application and the acquittal that is outlined in the policy.
Through Madam Mayor, I suppose the anecdotal evidence available to me is that the process is working well. There hasn't been, as far as I can tell, any issues. We've tried to simplify it compared to our former sponsorship and grants policy, which required reports to come to Council and a fair bit of documentation for what were, in effect, relatively modest sums. So given Council is limiting the grants to $2,000 typically, we've sought to right-size the process relative to that amount.
And if I can just ask a follow-up question to that. Your predecessor, there was discussion about having a list of those who had successfully received those grants provided through the bulletin to councillors. I think it was once every 6 months to just keep us updated on which groups are receiving funding. I was wondering, I haven't actually seen that happen yet. I was wondering if that is a process that... Okay, thank you. So, on that note, councillors, we will go behind closed doors because we are going to 10.1, which is expression of interest for 35 Old Perth Road. I believe that the front doors are closed anyway.
Madam Mayor, did you want to deal with
9.4? Oh, I've missed it.
That
sorry.
Way we can
sorry.
Wrap up the meeting.
Apologies for that. I actually missed that completely. And wrote my notes on the wrong particular thing. Okay, accounts paid in March 2023. Councillors, are there any questions on this particular one? No. So with that, if we can go to 10.1, which is confidential. I think the front doors are all closed, are they not? And we'll turn off the recording.